Let's party.
Sports Saturday.
They storm the field at Autzen, and the Ducks win this bout.
With Joe Fisher.
Hell yeah, brother.
And Rashad Taylor.
I went a little too hard on the tequila last night.
Sports Saturday on the Fan Sports Network.
And it's intercepted at the goal line.
105.1 and 1080.
Unbelievable.
The Fan.
That's right, hour number two, Sports Saturday, here on 105.1 The Fan, 1080 The Fan, YouTube, the Odyssey app, Twitch. Now, I went and looked up, we were talking with our new engineer bro, Josh, the other day after our going away party for an employee.
Okay.
And we were talking about the YouTube audience that we have, and he's like, are you guys on Twitch also? And he's like, you guys got to be on Twitch. And we're like, yeah, we are on Twitch. I was like, it's not quite the same audience as YouTube. I went and looked up. YouTube, we're just shy of 6,000 subscribers on the 105.1 The Fan YouTube page. On Twitch, 127.
Yeah. I mean, Twitch is for the kids. And I mean,
it's what I always say.
Russ, do you have a Twitch?
No.
Do you have a Twitch, Jordan? Joe?
I have a Twitch account, but I do not do any sort of streaming or watching anything on it.
I also have a Twitch account. It's, you know, really for gaming more than anything. And yeah, I don't ever really use it. Like, we need to use it more. We definitely need to use our Twitches more.
For the Fan?
Just in general.
I think we're good.
I mean,
I'll stream some feet stuff on there, yeah, if people are, man, down for that.
That's a whole other website, bro.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. But
thanks for the sub.
I think you can really.
You want to see my pinky toe?
I think you can really make some money doing that, which is weird.
But if I get 10 subs, you will see my pinky toe.
There is somebody that will pay to see your feet, though.
Oh, yeah, 100%. For sure. Contemplated, man. It's a good source of some passive income right there. But we are on the YouTube. That's the cash cow right there, is on YouTube, the Odyssey app, and now on 105.1 FM. Unbelievable. Hey. All these years, we made it.
We did. Here we are.
Mama, we made it.
Thank you for rocking with us, too.
NFLPA, they're going through some not fun stuff with, like, people having to resign after stealing a bunch of money and just a whole bunch of legal issues right now that doesn't sound fun to talk about. What is fun to talk about is their 2025 report card. So they've been doing this for the last couple years now, where they essentially ask every player, 1,695 of their players, provided information to share with one another about their current club, to not only help them make important career decisions, but also help raise standards across the league. So they grade every team based off of treatment of families, food and dining area, nutritious dietitian, locker room, training room, training staff, weight room, strength coaches, team travel, head coach, and ownership.
Okay. So can I guess the teams that have the lowest grades?
Yeah, you definitely can. I mean, which category? Do you want to go?
Let's start with head coach.
Head coach. All right. Who has the lowest score for head coaches?
I'm gonna go with Cleveland.
Cleveland is the third. Which I don't know if, I mean, is exactly fair, because I feel like Kevin Stefanski is probably the best head coach they've had over the last like 25 years, but they are tied for last with a C grade at head coach. Yes.
Okay. I'm going to say Jacksonville.
Yeah, Jacksonville. And that's not even fair. The dude hasn't even coached one game.
And that's the only reason why. And that's the only reason why is because you can't give somebody a high grade if you don't know what they're capable of doing. So
Jags,
I totally
head
that.
Coach Liam Cohen coming over from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I was going to say, use that same philosophy, that same standard, and you could maybe guess what the other team is on here with the lowest.
Yeah, grade. I'm trying, and I'm looking at all my teams. I'm going to say the Cowboys.
No.
Really?
How dare you?
Actually, you know why I dare.
Hey, Dallas Cowboys head coach got an A, baby.
No way.
Yes. Brian Schottenheimer's already winning over the locker
already,
room.
Already, I can tell this is flawed.
Hell yeah, brother.
This is flawed already. Remember how angry people were that Shotty was hired in the place? Now he's an A? Like, okay.
That's an A hire right there.
I guess the other team I would probably say would be I'm going to say the Jets.
No, it is not the Jets. The Jets got to be the other one. And this was interesting because he was one of the bigger names in the coaching carousel. And that was Ben Johnson, new Chicago Bears head coach coming over from the Detroit Lions.
I was going to say Bears, but I figured because it was Ben Johnson, like, and they would probably give the benefit of the doubt, but I guess not.
There was only one team who got at least an A in every single category. Not even an A minus, at least an A in every single
category.
Was
it the Chiefs?
It was not the Chiefs. No, the Chiefs actually, their owners are known for being some cheap asses, honestly. So, like, they don't.
Okay, so I have to think about normally who the best
don't get,
is.
Like, amazing grades in some of the categories. Like, their locker room is a D minus. Treatment of families is a B minus. A C minus for their training room. C plus for weight room. C for training staff. Ownership, C minus. So, but there was one team that got A's across the board.
Wow.
And I bet I could give you three guesses and you would not guess the team.
Okay, well, let's see.
Well, give me three guesses, Rashad. Damn it.
Okay, oh, I thought you were going to, okay, give me hints. Okay, my bad.
No.
All right, well, I'm going to say,
based off of what you know about these franchises in the NFL,
okay,
who you think it could be.
Okay. I'm going to say the first one, I'm going to say Philadelphia Eagles.
It is not the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay.
So they got some decent grades around. They got an F in team travel, though.
Oh,
so as
really?
Far as, okay. Yeah. So okay. As far as their travel logistics for the team.
And I'm thinking about great. And I'm thinking about great ownership too, and I'm thinking about great facilities and stuff. Denver?
Denver, it was not Denver, but they got some decent grades in there here in a little bit. A owner, A for team travel. A minus for a nutritionist, dietitian. They got an F for their locker room.
Really?
Yep. Okay. So those are.
That's weird.
So you went Chiefs, you went Eagles, you went Denver Broncos. No, the one team that got at least an A in every single category, the Miami Dolphins.
Wow. Not surprising.
Really?
Oddly enough, not only because I'm thinking about like the stadium and the facilities and the fact that it's in Miami and all these things. And so I'm like, okay, I could see that.
Well, even like what was shocking to me was their owner.
I would have said Tampa Bay as well.
Their owner got an A plus, and Stephen Ross is kind of a boob. Like he is like not one. I thought he was one of the worst owners in the league. Like, well known, but I guess the players absolutely love him.
Yeah, and when you start turning, remember Miami was an S show for a long time, and they're really just kind of recently starting to get back to playing some good football over the past like 4 or 5 seasons, and so. That can change things for people as well.
Someone on the text line said that these survey results were taken last season. They think that they were taken last season. So, like, the Bears and Jags are grading the coaches who got fired, not the new ones. That makes a bit more sense because those were two teams that fired their head coaches last year, and Doug Peterson and Matt Eberflus.
Okay.
Matt Eberflus, new Dallas Cowboys defensive coordinator. Matt Eberflus, baby. Let's go.
You guys are really going for it this year, huh, Cowboys?
Listen,
let's go.
Listen, I've gotten over the off-season doldrums, and now that we're a couple weeks from the season, I am fully back into I think this could be our year.
Feeling good. Hey, man, things change real quick. After,
you know what? I think I like what we got out there.
I'm concerned about what you guys are doing with Micah Parsons. That's a concern.
He's
clearly concerned. He got his new braces on, so clearly these got to be paid for somehow. Like, run the check.
Braces ain't cheap.
CTC, man. Cut the check.
Yeah.
We'll take him.
I'm sure you would.
Yeah,
I'm
we'll
sure every team would take
him. Yeah, so do right by him, Dallas. Don't be stupid.
Atlanta Falcons got really good grades across the board. They had A's in every single category except two, where they had a B-plus and a B for team travel and training room.
I'm curious what all of the teams that play in domes, what their grades
what they're
are.
Working with?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Arizona Cardinals, they got a lot of bad grades.
Shocker.
Yeah, that's one of the cheaper franchises in the NFL also.
You talk about a franchise that really, I don't think ownership really cares about the Cardinals and what they do.
Yeah.
It doesn't really seem like they really care about what that franchise is doing right now.
The only team where their owner got an F and it makes 100% sense.
Green Bay?
No. They don't have an owner.
Well, that's why we get an F.
They got an incomplete.
Oh, okay.
The Jets got an F. which Woody Johnson, yes, and his son in the locker room doing dumb stuff, like that 100% makes sense that the Jets got an F in ownership. Steelers got a D. Your boy, Robert Kraft, got a D.
That's ridiculous, but okay. That's no one agrees with that. That's
how dare
hate.
You. Yeah. He is a pioneer. Right?
He is, man. He is.
Yeah, Cardinals D minus, Panthers D minus. The one that I'm somewhat always curious about is the food and dining area. Like, who's got the food just dialed in? Because I feel like being an NFL franchise, like, the world is your oyster. You have a ton of money. You have a billionaire owner. Like,
I can already guess who probably has the best.
Well, it's a team I already said. It was the Dolphins.
The Dolphins, yeah.
They got an A+.
I figure Miami. I figure Atlanta. Maybe New Orleans.
Atlanta's up there with an A. New Orleans, that'd be nice. But they are, scrolling. New Orleans is second to last.
Wow, that's surprising.
Well,
that's surprising.
Got oil-covered shrimp down there that they have to eat. Like, I had a shrimp po' boy the other day, though. Fantastic.
Listen, have you had the
oh my god,
what was the place? Montage used to be awesome. Well, there's still like a Montage cart.
That's what it was.
Yeah, man, get the gator.
Yes. Oh my god.
Yeah, try the gator.
The gator
po' boy. Mm-hmm. Really good.
Bengals are like across the board terrible. Bad food, bad treatment of family. They got an F minus for treatment of families. That one, I feel like if you want to piss your players off quickly, treat their families like crap.
Listen, most things that have ever gone wrong with like pre-agency or something like that was around family, right? And so I remember when, and this is a basketball related thing, but remember when Tim Duncan was going to go sign with the Magic, and nobody remembers this. Like he was about to go sign with the Magic, and then I think Doc Rivers told them like, "Oh man, we don't travel with family on the plane." Man, if that's all you got to do to get Tim Duncan is let his wife or his kid get on the plane with the team for.
Yeah,
absolutely. Like, I'll buy you your own plane, Tim. You can do whatever you need to do, bro. So, yeah, that treatment of family is incredibly important.
Yeah, so if you, are getting an F minus Cincinnati Bengals or the Jaguars got an F, this is a bizarre one. The Los Angeles Rams got a D in that category. It's like
that's treatment of family?
Yeah. Now, granted, you're in L.A.
That's sure shocking.
I'm sure there are some bougie families that are asking for a lot.
Yeah, and that's why. It's the ask of being in L.A. and stuff like that. It's the ask of being, I'm not sure what the Raiders' treatment of family looks like, but moving to Vegas, I'm sure that probably changed some things for them.
Raiders got a B-plus in that.
Okay.
Which, from my understanding, is that Davis Bro, that there's owner, is actually like a pretty decent dude. It's just he can't hire the right people in the football room. But my understanding is
like
his, him running the franchise and his like temperament, I guess, if you will, is that he is not like his old man and that he actually does a pretty decent job as far as being like,
it sounds like people are excited.
He got an A in the ownership category.
I was about to say, it sounds like people are excited ish about what Pete Carroll is going to do with that Raiders team. So we'll see.
Well, and the Raiders, they were another team that they almost got an A, at least an A minus in every category outside of treatment of families, which got a B plus. So.
Stadium is awesome. If you've never been to Allegiant, man, it is an awesome stadium.
All right, let's take a break. Let's start previewing some divisions, baby.
Let's do it.
Let's go over to the AFC South. We got the Jags, we got the Texans, we got the Colts, and we have the
AFC South. We're doing the South, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is the 14?
Yeah. Jags.
I said the Jags. Jags, Titans. Texans, Colts,
Titans.
Well, that's definitely a forgettable franchise.
Yeah, for
right
sure.
There.
We don't expect much from the Titans.
This is why we're getting them out of the way first.
Not yet,
okay?
At least. We don't expect much from them yet, but they got a young man that's probably going to make us notice them in a little while.
We'll go AFC South first, then we'll go NFC South here in the second hour on Sports Saturday on 105.1 The Fan. Sports Saturday here on The Fan. Well, color me intrigued. Text line. Someone said, if you've seen Mark Davis's girlfriend, you'd understand how you can relate to players in their 20s. Well,
okay.
All right,
he is the owner of a Las Vegas franchise. So
I'm doing a quick Google here. Yeah. Good for you, Mark Davis. Good for you. And I'm sure she's in for it because of the personality.
She has to be.
Personality,
and the haircut,
and physical attractiveness.
Yeah,
that haircut. Yeah.
You pumpkin pie haircutted freak. Yeah. Yeah, that's what he looks like. He looks like Lloyd Christmas.
You know what he needs? He needs a black barber is what he needs.
I mean, hey, I got a couple. I'll hook you up. Hook you up. I think all of you guys should see one. If you want the Travis Kelce cut, I got somebody that can give that to you.
I love this line. 69-year-old Raiders owner says his 26-year-old girlfriend didn't know he was a billionaire, and she was just attracted to his smile.
Right. I had no idea. She didn't Google you at all. Yeah. That's, I mean, hey.
Whoo!
Yeah. I mean, well, that's awesome that she's in it for the personality.
Yeah. That's just a good old American love story there.
I'm sure Belichick's girlfriend is the same thing. Like, he's super funny.
Can you imagine if she was just dialed in, like, football-wise? Like, they're, like, going over, like, the All-22 film, and she's just like, no, Bill, see.
Yeah, we're weak on the left side. Yeah. You have to, we've got to double
up. If you're
up
running a 3-4 defense, you have to make sure that your second, that line of linebackers, had, like, just going deep into it.
That, I mean, that would be awesome if that were the case. I doubt it.
I love it when you talk cover two.
Yeah, I doubt it, but, yeah, I don't know what they talk about, like, scrunchies or, you know. What do you talk about?
Laboo-boos.
With a 24-year-old. Seriously, if you're a 78-year-old man, how old is Belichick? He's pretty old. He's an old dude.
Yeah.
He's getting up to his 70s at this
point. I think he is 70.
You have nothing in common with this young woman. Let's just be 100% honest.
He's 73.
The only thing y'all have in common is the fact that you have money. She likes money. And ipso facto, you guys can be together because of it. So that's what it is.
All right. NFL stuff, eh?
Let's do it.
AFC South this year. The team who won the division last year is the team who has won it the last 2 years, and that is the Houston Texans, the Indianapolis Colts with a disappointing season, the Jaguars with a disappointing season, and the Titans with a season. Is there a chance that any one of those three teams can usurp the Houston Texans this upcoming season? Because, quite frankly, I think this is three in a row for Texans as far as winning the division.
Yeah, no, it should be the Texans. The only team that probably could sneak up on people is the Titans. And the only reason I say that, here's the only reason I say that.
Are you sure about that, bud?
No, the only reason I say that is because there is no NFL film right now on Cam Ward. And so you have a team that's projected to be bad, so I haven't seen their schedule yet, but I assume it's pretty favorable considering that they had a 3-9 record last year. They were not 3-9, but they were
I was going to say.
No, they were they
we just don't even want to finish the season, yeah. Please.
No, yeah, so it was one of those things, like, they were worse than 3-9, but they weren't a very good team, which is why they landed the number one draft pick. And sometimes we know if you don't have a winning season, you get a pretty favorable schedule. Let me pull up their schedule.
Well, I will tell you that across the board in every sports book, they have the worst odds to win the AFC South.
And the only reason I'm saying that, because I don't trust the Colts and Anthony Richardson at this point. Like, him coming out of the game because he was quote unquote tired last season was, I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback do that.
Unforgivable.
Yeah, honestly, it was kind of weird. As a leader, like, that was kind of weird. Oh. And I really like Anthony Richardson. And so that was a weird thing to do, but I'm looking at
weird is putting it lightly.
No, I can't say what I really want to say because we're on radio, but that was super strange, and it showed me like kind of a lack of heart. And as my quarterback, that's not what I need from you,
dude.
Like, that's I can't do that. But I'm looking at the schedule, and
Bronco, I ain't even gonna lie, I was tired. The way he admitted it, too.
Yeah.
There was part in the moment where I was just like, well, damn, what? I appreciate the honesty, but.
No, but what?
I think you just need to lie right there, dude.
Seriously, you know how far he slipped down everybody's fantasy board just from that line? I got tired. What? You for real? No, I think I'm kind of off him as a leader. But, yeah, I'm looking at their schedule if you're the Titans. And, I mean, it's not as easy as it sounds. It starts with the Broncos, Rams, Colts. Two or three of those games are going to be, you know, pretty tough for you to win. But then you've got the Cardinals and some other teams. So there is some opportunity for them to upset some folks, but probably not going to happen.
Titans, 5.5 is their over-under win total. The Colts are at 7.5, as are the Jaguars at 7.5. And then the Texans are at 9.5 for over-under win totals. Listen, there are some intriguing aspects about this division, especially with the Jaguars now getting Liam Cohen, offensive-minded young head coach, coming over from the Buccaneers after, you know, back-to-back years of the Buccaneers having great offenses. I mean, first it was Brian Canales, the OC, and he went over to Carolina as a head coach. And then it's like, all right, you're losing your OC who just had a great offensive season. Then Liam Cohen steps in for the Buccaneers and he's like, oh, we're just going to have another great offensive season. And he gets a job out of it. So I'm intrigued to see what the Jags look like with Trevor Lawrence getting probably paid more than he has shown that he deserves at this point, and what Liam Cohen and that team's going to do. And then obviously with the Travis Hunter aspect, what that team is going to look like, you know, whether they're using him on both sides of the ball or if he just becomes a main receiver weapon. Or I personally think you need to have him at corner full time.
They need corners. They need
their secondary was putrid ends, last
like
year.
They weren't very good at those two particular positions. I don't think they're great at receiver, but I don't know if Travis Hunter, I think he would be a better defender than he would be a receiver at this point.
They got Brian Thomas. He was a rookie last year out of LSU, and he had a great season his first year with the Jaguars. Like, he was one of the I think he was still a first-round pick, but, yeah, he had a phenomenal first year with the Jaguars. So that's why I'm intrigued to see, like, if I'm going to go any team to be able to take down the Texans this year, I'm going to go with the Jags. And I think I had the Jaguars winning the division last year, and that did not work out, clearly.
It never really does for anyone.
I feel like that's a death wish right there.
I think Trevor Lawrence has his gas. Like, we got to talk about when enough is enough and when we're going to stop, you know, kind of vaulting Trevor Lawrence as this guy. Maybe he's just not, you know, like, I think he really has his job cut out for him. In Jacksonville this year, but it's been a long time. This is year six for Trevor? Five?
I think five.
Yeah, year five, and still very little production to really show for it. So I think that's the part for me. It's like, man, I think I have faith in Trevor Lawrence. At least I have had faith in Trevor Lawrence. Like, at this point, we need to see it. You know, like, everything that this team does is based off of what Trevor Lawrence is able to do. So, you know, Liam Cohen has his work cut out for him, because he's got to try to figure out a way to make this young man a winning quarterback. And that's what he hasn't been at this point. We all see the skill, but for whatever reason, he just hasn't been a winning quarterback.
Yeah, just the consistent performance throughout the season. Stay upright, stay healthy, give us a full season of more than just productive football.
More than just beautiful hair.
Yeah, you got to...
Marsha. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, you gotta make a jump this year. And then as far as the Texans go, I know that they won the division last year, but it was not a pretty year for the Texans. It was, you know, and they ended up getting the playoff win against the Chargers, where they picked off Justin Herbert four times. So that might have put some lipstick on the pig there. But it was not like a season... Like 2 years ago when the Texans came out of nowhere, C.J. Stroud's rookie year, I think they took a step back last year. So to kind of right the ship, D'Amico Ryans has got to get that team kind of looking how they did 2 years ago versus last year. Because it was an odd year for them, even though they ended up winning the division and getting a playoff
and
win.
That was kind of why I mentioned the Titans as potentially being one of those teams that can come out of nowhere, because that year that the Texans came out of nowhere, no one was expecting that. That was supposed to be the Jaguars' year to be able to come in and kind of put their stamp on being in charge of the AFC South at that point. And they really couldn't do it, because all of a sudden this young startup in C.J. Stroud and the Texans came out of nowhere. And so that's the only reason that nobody knew what to expect from him. I think at this point nobody really knows what to expect from Cam Ward. You know, he's talented, but how far can he really take you? And then you look at what Jaden Daniels, you know, did in Washington. Again, who was expecting the Commanders to be anywhere near the top of the NFC East?
Yeah.
No one.
Well, and I think that's, you know, maybe something we do here in the next couple of weeks is look at the teams that missed the playoffs that we want to bet on or bank on making the playoffs this year. Because, it happens every year. There's teams that don't go back and they, revert back to a bad season, or a team that plays above their, above what people are expecting and do make the playoffs. So, I think that, like, last year was the Denver Broncos. Like, no one saw that coming. I think that's something maybe we would do in the next couple weeks. Let's take a break and jump over to the NFC South here on Sports Saturday on the Fan Sports Network. But first, Jeff Russ with Sports Center Update. Doing a little bit of NFL divisional previews here on Sports Saturday.
Love it.
Our first show on Saturday after doing Sundays for all those years.
How do you like it so far?
It feels the same.
Does it?
It, you know, once we kind of do this and get in our element, it's definitely the same. I think as the day goes on and then waking up tomorrow and doing this a few more times, it will start to feel a little different. But I don't know, man. We just show up, you know, turn the mics on, flip them on, and do our thing. And
it just, will be nice to sleep in just for a little bit tomorrow. I don't get a chance to sleep in on Sunday. I haven't slept in on a Sunday in 11 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, sleeping in on a Sunday. I mean, like, unless there's something off or something like
that. Yeah, unless it's a holiday like we had, you know, a couple weeks ago to where everybody's going to be gone for the weekend. Like, yeah, I don't think I've slept in for a long time on Sunday, so I'm looking forward to that.
NFC South, last year, it was the Buccaneers that won that division. Their offense has been on point the last few years.
Baker Mayfield, man, knows how to play football.
I love Baker, dude.
He's grown on me.
Yeah, I'm just so glad. Like, I wanted him to be successful in Cleveland because it seemed like he was getting some unnecessary hate out there and played well, got them to the playoffs, got him a playoff win. And then it seemed like his career was just about to, like, go down the drain. Then went to Carolina and went to the Rams for half the season. I feel like there's another team in there that I'm forgetting that he was at. But,
yeah, Baker was one of those guys. He kind of had some FU in him, you know?
Love.
Yeah, but I think he rubbed a lot of people wrong, you know, coming off of a Heisman and all these things that you were able to do in college. And I think by the time he got to the NFL, like, he was kind of a D-bag. And I think people just kind of were turned off by that. And if I'm being honest, he had to be humbled a little bit. And playing for the Panthers will absolutely humble you. I just think it's just one of those places that it's like football purgatory. You get sent there and pretty much your career is over. And then usually careers are much better after you leave Carolina, unless you're Cam Newton. But for the most part, like, yeah, I think that was the big thing for him. So I think he had to humble himself and really come with a different mindset. And since he's done that, like, he's been the leader in that locker room, and he's been a top 10 quarterback, in my opinion, in the NFL over the last two seasons.
Well, I fully expect the Buccaneers to win this division again. I think that they've been adding some young pieces offensively to an aging receiving core in Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, who Chris Godwin is coming off of a terrible injury from last year. So kind of see where he goes from here. But they added Jalen McMillan out of Washington in last year's draft. They added Emeka Egbuka from Ohio State in this year's draft. I mean, Bucky Irving is going into year two after a breakout rookie season with them. There is no reason why the Buccaneers should take a dip after losing, you know, Liam Cohen, their offensive coordinator. But again, it kind of seems like plug and play for them at offensive coordinator. It's like, oh, we lost Brian Canales. All right, here, Liam Cohen, can you take over? Oh, we lost Liam Cohen. All right, Josh Grizzard is now our OC and is just going to be able to fill the gap here. So yeah, I fully expect the Bucs to win this division. And it's kind of what it was last year, is that the only other team that I feel can compete with them and maybe push them for the division crown is the Atlanta Falcons. But we're going to get a full season out of Michael Penix, and who knows what that looks like. It got a lot better in his tenure, his stretch last season when he got put in as the starter. I think as the season went along, he got more comfortable, caught the speed. And I hate Michael Penix for being a Husky, but that dude can play quarterback. Has pocket presence, and he can drop it in the bucket, put it on a dot. Like, he just has this knack of how to throw the ball. And so I expect the Falcons to be better than they were offensively, and him to be better and just get another year under his belt. I mean, the Falcons, I feel like they definitely could make things interesting in this division.
For sure. I think Michael Penix had a great opportunity to learn under a really good quarterback in Kirk Cousins. You know, he had an opportunity for a year. Now, mind you, it wasn't the year that Kirk Cousins was looking for, but hoping for, but he was never negative. And I don't know if you've been watching quarterbacks at all. Season?
I've been trying to watch it with the boy and coordinate that, and I got to get him off that damn Rocket League.
Well, good luck with that, man. But Kirk Cousins, man, I love his outlook on stuff. I love his disposition. He's just kind of like, he understands how blessed he is to play football and all these things. Obviously, he's a competitor and wants to play, but it's just kind of one of those things. But either way, Michael Penix Jr. has an opportunity to really had an opportunity to learn from a really consistent quarterback in the NFL, and now he gets to go out there. And mind you, remember, he is an older, he was an older player coming into the league. Like, he was already, what, 25 right. when he was drafted?
Something Penix? Like that. Yeah, yeah, 24, 25.
Yeah, 24, yeah. 25. So you're talking about somebody who is a man, you know, at this point, and knows how to read a playbook and knows how to study. And so I'm looking forward to see what he's able to do with this team, with, you know, guys like Drake London, some other folks. Like, this could be a really, really good squad for them. So I think this is the only team that really can kind of compete with Tampa Bay up top. So, I mean, if Tampa Bay doesn't win, then I think it would be the Falcons that walked away from this division.
I mean, the Saints, they're going into year one of the Kellen Moore era. I mean, I don't even know who they're going to have a quarterback. I mean, if it's going to be Spencer Rattler or Tyler Shuck.
Either way, it's a winner, right?
Jake Haener, the former Fresno State kid. I don't know if they even have Spencer Rattler anymore, honestly, but pray to God they don't, because they need something, someone competent at quarterback. And maybe it is Tyler Shuck, former Oregon Duck, who transferred to Texas Tech and finished out his career there. But honestly, what I would like to see in this division, I would like to just see the Panthers be a little bit better and a little bit more competitive. I thought that they made a little bit of a jump from being complete rollover easy W's to being a little bit more of a competitive team last year. I don't know. I just I would like to see something finally click for Bryce Young in this roster. They got a new wide receiver in the draft, Tetaroa McMillan, who some people are saying is the next Mike Evans. You know,
those are big shoes to fill, but okay.
Yeah. And is their defense going to be better? I would just like to see the Panthers make things a little bit interesting, because if they, I mean, how many more years? I mean, you're going to go into year three of Bryce Young. He just got benched last year at one point. How much longer are you going to roll on that train for until you start thinking about the future there? I mean, it would it take a 7-win season for them to be like, you know what, let's keep this going? Would it take 6? Like, if they go 6-11, like, are they going to be happy about that? That will be an interesting scenario to look at in Carolina to see how that plays out as far as their on-field performance, the context behind it. You know, is it a defensive problem? Is it, you know, offense? Is Bryce Young just not the guy? Not it. That will be an intriguing aspect of this division and that team in particular.
And if you're Carolina, you have to think about, if Bryce Young isn't the guy, is Andy Dalton? Is that the direction you want to go? Is
At least for the rest of the season, you know, that's what you'd have to do.
And yes, Tyler Shuck is projected, as far as ESPN's depth chart, is projected to be the starter in Carolina, or excuse me, in New Orleans this year. But yeah, if you're Carolina, all you can do is just go out there and play. Nobody expects anything of you, so you're really playing with house money at this point. So try to make something happen. Look, you really kind of bolstered that receiving core. What's my country boy's name? I can never say his last name right, Greg. Xavier
Leggett.
Leggett, yeah. Man, I love him. I love listening to his interviews. I don't know what the hell he's saying, but it don't matter. I'm listening, and I feel motivated with that. And so you add in McMillan with him, all of a sudden it looks like Bryce Young has some targets. Does he have protection, though? And I think that's the biggest part. Like, do you have somebody that's going to be able to make sure you can stay off your back and be able to throw the ball? So
that'll be great, man.
Hey, man, I love that. I love that kid. He's somebody who just loves to play football, you can tell. So they've got some guys on their team that could be a big thing. We just have to see how patient they're going to be, like you were saying, Joe, about Bryce Young. And this has to be a year that they get seven wins. I think honestly, what they win last year, like 4-3?
The Panthers?
Yeah.
I think they were around that range because they had to give up their pick to the Chicago Bears. So I think they finished around that 5-12, 4-13 mark from last season.
So if you win seven games this year,
5-12,
you win seven games this year, I think that puts you in good shape to be able to kind of start keep building this young roster, because Bryce Young is still very young. This is what, year four? For him?
This is year three.
Year three. So he's still very young. I think too young to punt on his career.
Well, and my God, I'm looking at it. Carolina's defense, give him some help, because they were the only team to give up more than 500 points last season. They gave up 534 across the...
that's insane.
Yeah, that's it's too much.
And when you don't have
closest
line to block for you, like, you're not going to score any points.
The next closest was my Dallas Cowboys, who gave up 468 points. So, and then the Titans at 460. But yeah, I mean, divisional odds, Buccaneers, they have the best, Falcons second, Panthers third, and then the Saints a distant fourth there.
Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap things up here for our first Sports Saturday right here on the Fan Sports Network. That's right. Get with it or get lost.
Who's back?
But don't get lost because
please stay.
We'll take any ratings that we can get. Yeah, someone says being the lead in to Ducks football is going to be fun, guys. Look forward to hearing you.
Thank you so much. It should be fun.
Getting here during college football season and cracking the mics as the 9 a.m. games are getting started, that's going to be fun.
It is.
I love college football Saturdays, and from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m., there being wall-to-wall action all across the country. Can't get enough of it. It's one of my favorite times of year, just waking up at, 8:30. Now that will be different.
No, you're right. Forth,
but just rolling out of bed and, getting some breakfast made or just sitting there and watching the old game day. And then the games start at 9 a.m. I'm like, dude, let's do this.
That's awesome. This is where living on the West Coast is great, right? Because, usually if you live Midwest, wherever, like those games start at noon, for everybody for the most part. But here, we wake up at 9 a.m., turn to ABC, turn to CBS, whatever the case is, and boom, there's football for us to enjoy. I'm one of those weirdos that really, I'll start watching.
Imagine having to wait until noon.
That's crazy.
Ugh.
That's crazy. I couldn't do it. I'm glad shout out to the West Coast. We get everything kind of earlier,
Eggs, breakfast, and go whoop ass.
Hell yeah, brother.
That's how you do it. And the great thing about football on Saturday is, again, like you said, Joe, it's all day. And then if you do want to do something later on, you're able to do that. And then you wake up and it's Sunday and there's more football to watch.
And imagine having to wait till 1 o'clock for football on Sunday.
10 o'clock. 10 o'clock is when football starts. I feel like it's un-American for football to start at just 1 o'clock.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I think every game should start at 10 a.m.
Well, and then some of those Sundays when you get that Europe game and it's on at 6:30 a.m. here, so you just wake up and turn on that TV and boom.
Well, and what's funny is, that is, I'm sure there are people on the East Coast that are watching that game and it turns on at 9:30 and they're like, wouldn't this be nice if football started this early? And they're like, yeah, it's called moving to the West Coast.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic.
I mean, can you imagine? Coast. Seriously, you live in New York and you happen to be a Blazer fan or a Laker fan, and those games don't start until 7:30. You mean to tell me 10:30? I got to stay up till 10:30 to watch a basketball? No, I'm good. So
I have always wanted, though, and this was more so when it was a Pac-12 and Pac-12 After Dark, being over in New York or something and going out late at night and coming home and there's still a football game on at
that would be
one
cool.
in the morning.
You're wasted, come home, you got some Vittles in front of you, and oh man, this
Oregon, oh my God, Oregon State
Oregon's still
is,
playing.
Oh God.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. If you're a diehard fan, yes, having football that late is awesome.
Well, we got only 4 more Saturdays left until college football season.
Can't wait, Bart Scott.
5 more Saturdays until NFL season. Just get here. Just get here.
Yeah, baby. We're ready. It's been long enough.
Swing. Yes, very swing on that. She's a babe.
If she were a president, she'd be Babraham Lincoln.
Good call.
She was a body part. I can't say. I don't think I can say that one on air.
Probably not. Not on the Saturday.
Jeff Russ, thank you so much for coming in today.
Absolutely.
Appreciate rolling with us on this first Sports Saturday. Rashad, thank you as always.
My man.
And thanks to all the listeners out there rolling with us on Sundays. You can now roll with us on Saturdays. And we will catch you next Saturday right here for Sports Saturday at 9 a.m. on the Fan Sports Network. Peace.